Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks one and all for being with us again. Whenever you listen, I know there are always people that listen live and more people all over the world that listen whenever it fits in your schedule. And isn't that a wonderful thing? So we're going to have some fun tonight. My guest this evening is my good friend Maureen McElroy, who I will tell you more about. But she does some amazing work and she's an incredible young lady. So we will talk to her in a minute after tonight's metaphysical musing, which might be a metaphysical rant or whine. We'll see how it goes. I'm always talking about walkabout and how you get communication from, you know, from whatever you consider spirit, divinity, however you conceptualize that, however you would experience that. And, you know, people think that it's, the sky's part and a bright light shines down and a voice tells you something, or, you know, the classic biblical thing is burning shrubbery. Mm-hmm. But typically it's much more subtle than that. And everybody has their own version. And very often it comes as an event or a turn of circumstances that just says, you're not paying attention. Just watch this. We're telling you something here. So, as some of you know from listening to my various other stories, I live in a small college town in New England, and we live right downtown, which sometimes is pretty good, but we're surrounded by other apartment buildings that are filled with students, and depending on who leases those apartments for a particular year, the whole quality of what we experience here changes. So we're also on one of the shortcuts to campus from the bars, which is really annoying because at 2:00 in the morning, there are gaggles of drunk students, you know, screaming on their way down the middle of the street. And I think if I never hear woohoo again, I will be very happy. But, you know, the kids next door this time were, because they're now leaving, were all seniors and all young women. And what that means is that, like bees going to honey, there were always young men around and there were always parties. And sometimes they were just, you know, small gatherings and a little bit of noise, but sometimes they got pretty big. And this weekend with graduation, there were several things that happened. They had a get together on Friday, and it was their usual noisier than I would like, but not outrageous. And it calmed down about midnight, and I went to bed. And then at 2:00 in the morning, started hearing something. I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And then I figured out what it was. Somebody was outside in the parking lot playing a tuba. We had tuba solos at 2 a.m. You can't make this stuff up. We could go into a long conversation about lack of boundaries and how people are raised, but we won't do that. So the next day was that Friday and Saturday were both graduations of different parts of the university. And on Saturday, the families of the graduates showed up and they put up little tent things and rented chairs and tables and played games and did the things that a family does when they get together and celebrate. And some of that was loud. And it's, you got to realize this is like 50 feet from my bedroom and my porch. It's right there. So the parents left, and then the friends of the students came to have their party, which turned into their usual louder than I would like it party right next to my my living room and my bedroom. So my daughter was here, and we watched a loud Star Wars movie and ignored it for 2 hours. And at midnight, when we turned the movie off, we looked at each other and went, "Oh my goodness, what is going on?" And we went out on the porch. And there were well over 200 students yelling and screaming and whooping it up and music playing, and we called the police and had a wonderful perch in the shadows on my porch watching the police come in and disperse the crowd. And it got better, but they didn't completely get rid of everybody who was there. And I just looked at all of that unfolding and went, "Oh, it's time for me to move." I totally get that it's time. You didn't really have to beat me overhead with a big hammer to shut, but yeah, it's time to move. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you haven't been listening, and a big drama will be created in the circumstances of your life, and you can just go, "Oh, poor me, my life has this terrible thing going on, and why did this happen?" Or you can look at it and go, "You're trying to tell me something, aren't you? I haven't been listening, or it wouldn't be this loud and this crazy. So what's the message?" And the message is, you need to find someplace else to live. It was a very good place to live when you were raising your daughter after the divorce. It was a perfect place. And it isn't anymore. And she's in college, and she doesn't need this place in the middle of town anymore. And you don't need to be there. You can leave now. So if any of you are from Western Massachusetts and you have any suggestions of places to live, that would be lovely. But just... it's time for me to go on another or a different walkabout. And this was the, depending on the mood I'm in, either the very loud and annoying or funny way that they were getting my attention and saying, "Do you get it yet?" I'm like, "Okay, I get it. What now? Show me what to do." So... once again, the messages come the way the messages come. The question is, do you take them as being a metaphor and symbolic and a message from another part of your consciousness, part of the universe, universal consciousness, divinity, God, source, whatever you happen to call that connection to what is more than your little mind? Or do you just consider it a circumstance that's annoying? And then, are you willing to go on walkabout? Are you willing to go out into the world, not knowing how things are going to go, not knowing how they're going to unfold and how it's all going to work, and do it because it's time to do that? So you will be getting updates from David's walkabout as this unfolds. And I'm sure it will include many, many odd and interesting stories. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing, rant, whatever that was. And now let's have some fun with Maureen McElroy. You with us, Maureen?
Yes, I am, David.
Hi there.
Too bad you don't live near me. It's very quiet.
Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and how we met. For several years, I haven't done it for the last couple of years because I had surgery and was recovering from it, but I will be going back to the convention of the American Society of Dowsers, and I do a couple of talks at the convention. And I think it was the first time I was there. I was standing in the hallway, and this unassuming young lady, and I think you were on crutches at that point, and it was obvious that she needed the crutches for some reason I didn't understand at the time. And she came over, introduced herself. We talked a little bit, and she looked to my right.
Yes.
And said, "Who's your friend?" Now, I knew what she meant because there is a dragon that very few people can see. Yes, dragons are real. They're not physical, but they're real. And I have a red dragon who follows me around, who's my constant companion, whose name is Sammy. And Maureen just matter-of-factly went, "Who's your friend?" I was like, "Oh, you're one of us. I have to find out who you are." And so began a wonderful friendship that's gone on for years. And I've discovered all kinds of things about what Maureen can do as a healer and as a psychic. And the part of it, and you can tell us more about it, the part of it that makes it so extraordinary is that Maureen has cerebral palsy. So there are things that people consider limitations, which don't seem to limit her in any way that I notice particularly, other than slowing you down a little bit, moving around. And as a healer, doesn't get in your way at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about her latest adventures, because she's one of those people who has a constant,
yes,
broader experience than most people do.
Yes, or as I call it, another day at the office.
Another day at the office, absolutely. For you, it's totally normal.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about most people walk around as if they're listening to AM radio. There's very few channels. There's a lot of static. It's hard to tune in. And most of it is talk or bad music. And most of the people talking are angry. But if you have a broadband receiver, you can listen to all kinds of music. You can listen to all the dramas of emergency vehicles. You can tune in TV. There's all this other stuff that's out there. You just need a receiver that can tune it in. And people who have broadband receivers pick up all kinds of stuff that the people that only listen to AM have no clue about. And Maureen's got a really broadband receiver.
Yes. Yes.
So just give people a little introduction of the, you know, what's a typical day at the office? What are the things that you tune into?
At night when I go to bed, Talon and Justice, my tigers, usually like to make what they call a Maureen sandwich, with both of them on either end of me, and I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And
so just so people get an idea, her tigers are like my dragons. And I can see your tigers. I know who they are.
Yes. And you're one of the few that can. There's like, besides me, and there's one other person probably that can see them, but besides me and you and this person, but they're always interesting. They usually walk at my feet or beside my feet, and then they sit at the kitchen table along with the boys. Usually the six of them have their morning coffee or whatever they call it. I don't ask what's in the mug.
So again, I'm going to interrupt you and translate for the people that don't know the jargon. The boys are the archangels.
Yes.
And everybody that I know that has an ongoing personal relationship with the archangels has been told in no uncertain terms that they're called the boys.
Yes. Although I can call them by their, like, Metatron and Sandalphon by their actual human names, because I'm kind of like their sister.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and do you have nicknames for them?
Well, no,
Mikey.
Also, yeah, he's the prankster, or he like instigates stuff, like bunny ears on people, and like,
right.
And he'll do something funny, or he thinks it's funny, and then if I don't think it's funny, he'll put like his wings between his legs, like a dog would, and I'm like, don't you use that face at me, you know, and he's like, sorry. But,
yeah, I tend to call them, you know, Mikey and Gabe and.
Oh yeah. Or.
which gets wonderful looks from them.
Yeah, well, Yoriel just likes to use incense a lot, at least when he's around me and we do, like, work. He likes the incense, and I'm like, could you please, like, only a little bit? I'm kind of human here, and, like, you're smoking up my room. But, yeah.
Very broad, man. So, you know, part of what I love about all this, and I love that we both have this experience, is for some people that do this kind of work, these relationships are very personal and very humorous. And there's a lot of give and take. And so there are people who see the Archangel Michael, who in many ways runs space-time. You know, he's a key actor in how things work on planet Earth and in this dimension, and cannot imagine anything but veneration and considering him very important and very sacred. And he is
important, but it's like, okay, when he pranks you several times, it's like, well, I know I can't prank them back because I'm not as tall as them, but like I can, you know, say something funny and they can like think it's funny, or like and sometimes they'll just watch me sleep sometimes because they like the thoughts that go in and out of my head, even though I do have a filter, but like I just say what's on my mind and it just comes out funny, and they, you know, they like it like that. So
I understand. I just I know far more people who think of the archangels in the more religious and sacred,
folded in the halos,
and the pictures that they've always seen, and you know, this is very sacred, and you couldn't possibly kid around about it.
Yeah, they don't look like the statues.
No, they can if you really want them to, but you know.
Yeah, but no, at least not with me. No,
so but, you know, and. Part of...
I love them anyway.
And part of the whole idea of archangels and the experience of archangels is that every religion, every spiritual tradition, every culture has a version of the archangels that's appropriate to that particular tradition and culture.
That's true.
Because the... You know, Michael exists for everybody, but he's not called Michael in China. Or in Tibetan Buddhism or Hindu traditions. And I don't, I used to know more of the names of the correlating deities, but Mother Mary exists in every tradition. Michael exists in every tradition because all over the world, people tune into that energy and interact with that energy, and they got to call it something. And in their particular culture, they came up with whatever they came up with at the time, and it gets passed down. So, you know, people think that the archangels are a particular Christian religious experience. And they're much deeper, much bigger. They exist by themselves, and the traditions through whoever the mystics were that first tuned in.
Yeah, and
come up with names.
Yeah, and I've come to the conclusion that the angels never stopped talking to people. Like, they've just continued to do what they do all the time. It's just whether those that actually listen and hear them, like, back then in, like, let's say, biblical times, that was more accepted. And then now it's not, but it's like, when it happened to me, nobody told me that I couldn't or that this wouldn't happen. So it is, you know.
Right. Well, Dr. Bernie Siegel has a famous saying that when people talk to God, it's called praying, and that's totally acceptable. But when God talks to somebody, it's called psychotic. And that's one of the problems in our culture, is that we have stigmatized the experience of hearing, having a direct connection and hearing divinity. And either people don't believe it or they say that it's crazy.
No, I'm not crazy. I'm as sane as they get, probably. Or a little, with a little.
Exactly. Tweet, exactly. You know. And there are people who are not connected to their lives and physical reality and can't make things work, who either are having an experience of talking to angels or they're having some experience and they're saying it's talking to angels, but that's a different thing. They're already in trouble. So, yeah, and one of the interesting things, I in the middle of my apprenticeship with two shamans, I worked nights in a locked psych unit.
Yeah.
And I could see who the people had voices. They had ongoing conversations. I could see who they were talking to.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Or when you know something is attacking someone and they have no idea and you can't say, oh, well, this is here. And,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it's also the dark entities are the ones that are problematic and the people that are really psychotic and dangerous are being harassed by them. And so there's always the situation where the patient and the psychiatrist are in the room and they're having a conversation and the psychiatrist is totally convinced that the patient is psychotic and has no idea what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. The patient is having an experience of there being this dark entity that's giving them a hard time in the room. And since the doctor can't see it or acknowledge it, he thinks the doctor is crazy. So you got two people in the room having different realities, both calling each other crazy. And then it gets down to the doctor has power and the patient doesn't. Mm. And I've always wondered what it would be like to be able to work in those circumstances and deal with the dark entity and get rid of them so that the conversation between the patient and the psychiatrist could be a real conversation instead of a lot of denial and accusation.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never worked in a psych hospital, but I've you know, used to work at the IRS. That is,
which is crazy enough.
Yeah, that is the loony bin. And well, people used to say, the toilets would flush, the lights would go out, and I would say, it's the ghosts of the disgruntled taxpayers. They want their money back, and they're not leaving until they get it. And people would think I would be hysterical. They're like, you're the funniest person I've ever met. But it was actually true. The whole building was sick, and I was getting physically sick being in there. Like, you know, because stress comes out in my body, like physically with my skin, my hair was falling out and all this stuff. And I'm like, I have to get out of here. And when they did, like, the boys would come with me every day to work because I said, if I have to be there, so do you. And they're like, do we have to? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and they threw confetti when I left there.
Well, I remember when you left, and I remember the incredible sense of relief when you finally got out of there.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was a relief to me, because I knew that if I had stayed, something physically would happen to me that would not be good. And I didn't want that to happen. So,
absolutely. So we're gonna go to a break in a few minutes, and I know that you don't have a website, and
no.
I'm just going to tell people where they can find your email address rather than giving it over the air. If you go to the website for the Farkas Files, which is thefarkasfiles.com, on the page for this episode with Maureen, you will find her email address. So if you want to get in touch with her, because she does incredible work, but she does it on a very individual basis, that would be the way to do it. So we're going to go to the break in just a couple of minutes. We'll be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller.
Well,
and we will have more fun with my guest, Maureen McElroy here on the Farkas Files. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have more fun.
No, I'm staying here.
We'll be right back.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home, where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha, I win! Whoa!
Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back.
Yes,
with
we are.
With my guest, Maureen McElroy, healer and psychic extraordinaire, and generally funny gal.
Yes. I have a quirky sense of humor.
Yes, you do. And I thought you would appreciate the public service announcements, which are as strange and surreal as the show usually is. So,
oh, that's okay. I'm used to it. Yeah. Oh, about a couple weeks ago, I Skyped you and told you about a tornado that I created with my mind.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because we never got to talk about it.
With the, well, of course, the boys were there. But one of my really good friends, I've known him for 15 years. He's also a dowser. And when we met, we just clicked. Well, I do a lot of work with him almost every other night, and he emails me all the time, and he was saying, you know, I'm having pain, he said something is attacking me, and I am very protective of this person, because we were both guardians in the Akashic Records, going way back. So, I said, oh, sure. And, so I saw this creature attacking him, and I just looked at the boys, and then they looked at me. They said, go ahead. And I started with my hand making a wind, like what would seem like a wind tunnel. Mm-hmm. And it just encompassed him and encompassed this creature. But this tornado, it grounded my friend, but threw these creatures into chaos. And anything that touches him goes into chaos now, but keeps him grounded so he's able to heal from the issues that he has, the physical issues that he has.
Uh-huh. So did he have an experience of the tornado? Did he talk to you about it?
Yes, the next day. He's like, whatever. He said, I just feel better. This thing has been spinning, and he's like, for some reason, they're mad. I said, they're not mad at you. They're mad at me for disrupting their little, because my friend was a host for them for so long, and, like, they were sucking his energy. So I said, they're kind of mad at me, but they're not going to get me because I said, light came out of my eyes and kind of blew them up into smithereens. And I said, the boys kind of kicked him through a door, so he will not be returning. Like, these creatures will not be returning.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love hearing your stories about how you work and what it looks like and what it feels like and what you do. And it's
that was new, the light coming out of my eyes. And I mean, I've had light come out of my hands and hit boom, but the creature didn't think I saw it and just looked at me. And because it looked at me, my tigers and the boys got very upset, and they were like, you don't look at her. And because I don't converse with them, I refuse to do it because they're not nice. I mean, they're not,
to say the least,
they're not nice beings. So I don't talk to them. But for just looking at me, I'm like, because you looked at me, you're going to get your ass kicked. But I didn't tell him that. And then it was like, boom.
Yeah, and that what you described with Michael throwing them out of this dimension, you saw it as a door. But yeah, that's very similar to what I do with entities like that. So
sure.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
But the tornado is cool.
Well, the tornado, it's still working for this person. And I said, it will work indefinitely for you. And I just did a tune-up the other night for him. I said, oh, this other creature was trying to catch itself but couldn't. It kind of looked like, you know, Vaseline and a squirrel trying to get up his aura but couldn't because the thing was spinning. So, I mean, that when that happened, I'm like, oh, that's new. Okay, that's another thing in my, as I would say, wheelhouse.
It, you know, people think that somehow we're given these things and, you know, we're told how to use them. There are things that I see in a particular way, and I've used them for a long time. But I was doing something today, and I noticed that the way I was seeing things was slightly different, and it does change sometimes.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden there was this new color of energy coming through behind what I usually do to purify. In this case, it was a building. And I was like, cool, what's that? Where'd that come from? You know, starting a conversation to find out how to use it, what it is, and all the rest of it. And the planet is changing so quickly everything we thought worked, that we experienced as working, is now not working in the same way.
It's awesome.
The things that we're being given to deal with and clean up are different enough and, you know, sometimes more dangerous, but certainly different enough that you can't just say, well, my protocol is I'm going to do A and then B and then C, and this will happen. And when I see that happen, I'll do this other thing. And because frequently it doesn't work that way.
Sometimes when I do work on you, they give me tools that usually give me tools different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, instruction manual, please. And then they're like, oh, we forgot you're human, and because they remember me from when I was not, when I was an angel. So it's like, okay, I'm in a human incarnation now. You got to, like, give me something. And then it's like, ooh, if it's a laser, it's like, ooh, that's different. Or, okay, I'm going to use this. And they don't usually tell me how to, like, insert it. And then my hands instinctively know where to go.
Right.
So, or the instruments, and pull stuff out and rearrange stuff.
That experience of angels or any number of other guides not remembering that we're human and have bodies is pretty common. I had them. They said, come with us and do this with us. And we went to a building that had it was very dark, lots of dangerous stuff in there.
Did you do it remotely?
Yeah, this was remotely. Okay. And it had psychic protection around it. And I came up to the edge of it, and I knew that if I went through it, I was toast. And they just breezed through it. And I was like, guys, I have a body. And they're like, oh, right, we forgot. I said, yeah, it would be good if you didn't blow up my body. So either you have to change my frequency, or we have to figure out a different way to get me inside if I need to be inside to do what you're asking me to do. And actually, in that particular case, it took a couple of months to figure out how to get inside.
Oh, okay.
And I had to I had to come up with an elaborate trick to have permission to be inside this building, you know, psychically, but someone else had permission to be in the building. And I said, oh, well, I'll just, you know, I'll take care of your group while you're on this trip. And when you get to the building, everything will be fine.
Yeah, actually, I find it interesting when they forget. It's like, okay, I have wings when I do this, when I help you guys out. But remember that I have canes and a walker in this incarnation, so you can't, like, spin. If we do anything, you can't spin me off the bed. I'm like, I don't want it. That's not the nice kind of spinning, you know. I don't want
it. Unless they can fix it all so you don't need it, which would be quite lovely.
But. Oh, sure. But no, and then I've been, like, assisting my parents with stuff that's been going on for the last couple months. That's been interesting.
Yeah, your family has had all kinds of crises and health problems.
Well, it's, I guess, par for the course. And when my dad was in the hospital the first time 2 weeks ago, he's been in there twice, at night, I was going up the steps, and I got to the landing, and I knew the boys were behind me, not all six of them, but, like, two of them, one on either side, and then they, like, I would call it, I had a a spontaneous cleansing experience where they, because I knew that something was going to happen because I got to my knees at the landing and I was crying not out of sadness or anger or anything. It was just because it was a cleansing experience, and they cut the cords between my dad and myself, and they said, "You're not to touch this anymore." So, yeah.
And
it was just relief after that point. So yes, that was also interesting, because when they cut them, I was thrown forward and my nose hit the cabinet, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have a blangy nose after this, but I didn't.
Right. You were also saying earlier that you obviously worked on your relatives when they were going to the hospital, and the doctors are all amazed at how, you know, quickly things improved and things. And I was like, yeah, I know that one.
Oh, yes. Or that they can't, my dad is internally bleeding and they can't find the source. They haven't been able to find the source for years, although I've had my suspicions. And I actually fixed it when it started 4.5 years ago, but now I'm not supposed to fix it. And there's a certain point where they say, okay, you've done what you've done, and that's enough. So, yeah. Oh, that's been interesting, too.
Yeah, so I know that there are going to be some people listening who are going to go say, this stuff just sounds way too far out there. What are they talking about? And what I say to everybody, because a lot of people don't have the experience of this, and if you don't have the experience, there's no reason for you to believe that it's possible. Obviously, unless someone you trust has had the experience or you've had the experience, you don't have anything to hang this stuff on. And that's true of all esoteric work, all healing work, all shamanic work. And the real question is, whether they've had the experience or not, what do they do with the fact that there are results? Both of us do work for people that are having specific kinds of problems. We do what we do, which to other people may seem really odd, especially because we don't seem to be touching anything, except everything is energy and there is no space or time. And physics has been telling us that for a long time, but people don't catch on. And somewhere, sometime, with maybe a lag time and maybe no lag time, the situation improves in relatively predictable but not always predictable kinds of ways. And obviously, I couldn't be doing this for the last, well, I've done it for 30 years, but I've been doing it as a business for 10 years, and wouldn't be doing that if I wasn't getting results, because nobody would find me and nobody would believe it. And the same thing, you know, you're not doing it as a business, but people come to you because your reputation is out there. People know that this young lady does some pretty amazing things. Check it out.
Well, a lot of dowsers can't work on their relatives, but I don't seem to have that problem, which is somewhat different. But I sort of like, when I go into that mode, I have sort of like a detachment. Like I'm watching, okay, the situation that needs help. And I've seen like holograms. That's interesting. Where you see like holograms of what a perfect organ looks like.
Yeah.
And then they bring it down from the Akashic Records, and it's like a 3D thing. You get to see like all the little nuances, and then you look at the person, that organ for that person, and you're like, oh, that's not right. Okay, we got it, you know. And then it's like surgery. You go in, you stitches, you with this golden scalpel, and you. I mean, I have gloves on, and I reach in and take stuff out, and then the dumpster takes it away.
So you, so your experience, your visualization, your is very much like surgery and having. And see, if I was looking at damage to an organ, since I see things as being an energetic grid, I would see damage to the grid. Well, so in building,
I can see that too in certain like circumstances. Like if I'm looking at a building, like, with people, it's more like surgery. If it's like somebody's house, and I'm like, I don't want to go in there because it looks, it's right. kind of, I get this creepy energy, and sometimes that does happen where it's like, I'd rather go this way, but everybody's going that way. Right. I'm like, I'm going to stay out here. I'm okay. Yeah, I don't want to get it on me, but if it's a building, I can see like a grid, like a white, it looks like a spider web will come up and be around like a building. But with people, it's more like a surgeon looking at it from a doctor perspective.
Yeah. Well, the way I see it, the organ, the grid of the organ is crushed. And what I do is, in effect, resetting it to what its normal shape would be, which is basically saying make the energy the way it should be so that the physical will respond by making the physical organ work exactly the way it should. And it's kind of the same thing without the drama of the surgery. It's basically saying the same thing. There's an example of what this organ is when it's healthy. Let's put it back that way because the information is there. There's just been something that made it.
Yeah, if it is, if it is possible to
right.
do that. Yeah, because in some circumstances, it's not. I mean, I've had that happen a few times where it's not. But then I know, well, I'm not supposed to fix this. And this might right. be what causes somebody to cross or, you know, whatever.
Right, right. There are reasons for it. The first time I did it was at a large group training, and a lot of the people had just come from another event where they had done a lot of walking and their feet were blistered. And I just started seeing this particular method and how it worked. And so I worked on half a dozen people who were miserable and having trouble walking and in a lot of pain. They came down the next morning to breakfast, and it was all gone. And I was
The pain was gone?
The pain was gone, and the blisters were gone. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
Now, do I want to work on someone's liver tomorrow? No, probably not. I should wait until I've had more experience with fingers and toes and assorted other non-critical organs. But does this particular way of looking at the problem and resetting things to a healthy situation work? I was like, oh, we're on to something here.
Right.
And then, you know, over time, I've had opportunities to work on other things and that were, you know, more of an issue than blisters on your feet.
Right.
And well, see that it's very effective.
Yeah. I mean, you crushed my kidney stones for me
That was a whole lot of fun. Thank you for bringing that up. You had a terrible case of kidney stones, and I worked on your healing on you.
The next day, it was fine. But I knew, like when you did it, I knew that you were in there because it's like I'm like, oh, I can feel
the right. You're sensitive enough to do that. And that what was fun about that was you went to the doctor the next day and they looked for him and they were gone.
Right. And then I went back to like my actual family doctor after I went back to the first doctor, and I was in the office just for a regular like visit, and he says, you had kidney stones? There's nothing on here saying that you had kidney stones. I'm like, well, I had kidney stones because I was in pain for 6 days. But then you cured it for me. So, yeah, I'm the only person.
We can't use the word cure.
Or okay, you assisted in removing.
Made them disappear.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things about this, just so that people, whether they think this is exciting and fantastic or they're sitting there going, that's not even possible, the issue is that the outcome is not completely predictable, any more than a medical intervention is completely predictable. You know, but people tend to say, well, you know, if a doctor does something, it's in some way more predictable or better than if you do it some other energetic way. Mm-hmm. But do we get results and get results enough of the time that it's, you know, it, at least to me, yeah, exciting and impressive? Yeah, we do.
Or people, like, after you do something, they go completely silent. Or at least I've had that. Like, when I explain what we saw, you know, me and the boys, what, you know, what we did, and I go through a whole list and I send people emails of what was done and
right,
that and the other, and they're like, you saw all of that? How did you see that? You know, I don't get it. Like, how is that possible? And I'm like,
because
it could have happened anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, because you're broadband and they're listening to AM. It's the same issue. So, Maureen, once again, we have spent an hour just having a wonderful time, and we're running out of time.
It feels only like 5 minutes.
Well, I need to say my end stuff.
I know. Yeah.
So, Maureen McElroy is my guest tonight. Delightful and amazing healer and psychic surgeon, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you at the Dowsing Convention this year. That's going to be great fun.
And you will meet my sister.
Cool. And thank you so much for being on the show. And as the saying goes, we really must do this again.
Yeah.
So, again, if you would like to contact Maureen, go to thefarkasfiles.com, which is the archive, and you can see all the others, but find this show about Maureen McElroy, and her email address is on that page. You can also find it on my blog at househealing.com. And if you're curious what in the world this guy David does, you can get more information at househealing.com. You can contact me with every conceivable technology by looking at the contact page. And on that page, I have a scheduling calendar that lets you make a phone appointment. And I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with a person, building, situation, business, whatever it happens to be. And we can talk about how my work might be helpful to you. If you're looking for old shows, go to the archive at thefarkasfiles.com. And you can also find us on iTunes Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and there's a lot of places. It's getting easier and easier to find the stream for all the shows on Empower Radio. So thank you so much for listening. I look forward to sharing some new and exciting stuff with you next time and every week. And many blessings on your path with whatever your walkabout is at the moment. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.